goodness of God. Ooh, Jesus, you know, like not very many people about a couple years ago were using the phrase the goodness of God. And I said, did you just say the goodness of God? And she's like, I did. And I said, tell me about that. She's like, well, God is just so good. Knew that I had to get to know them better after that. And so Greg and I invited their family to actually spend the night. We had a sleepover, a family sleepover. How cool is that, right? And we ended up staying up till
maybe 4.
Oh, because they live in campus. Yes, that's okay. True. That is awkward, right? Lindsay getting us on the straight and narrow.
Thank you.
So there are neighbors next door.
Thank you for that.
Hey, sleepover anyway. No. About an hour and a half away, and so we said, bring your kids over, come hang out, do a pool party because it's so far away. Hang, you know, stay over, and then you guys can head back the next day. I think they had errands to do and things to do the next day down in Phoenix. So that is how that happened. We're not quite that creepy. I don't know. We might be that creepy, but saving us on that one. Anyway, so we stayed up till dark 30.
Yeah.
Four.
About the sun rising.
Right. And I remember getting a text the next day, and it's probably one of the best texts I've ever gotten. And do you guys remember sending me that? I don't know if you even remember it.
Yeah, something, the effects of our lives will never be the same.
Yeah. She said, we woke up and we looked at each other this morning and we said, our lives will never be the same.
Yeah. As I'm sure most of you have experienced with when you come into revelation and understanding and you meet other people that that have the same mindset and speak the same language, it's like, that's it. That's where I need to be and what I need to be experiencing. So yeah, that's true.
We met Dan and Christy the weekend before our very first small group. And one of the beauties of that, yeah, our very first small group, like what, 2-3 years ago. And the beauty of that was that Greg got to watch Dan be so excited about what it was that we feel like God has shown us. And we didn't even know that it was that big a deal. But Dan thought it was a big deal. Christy was actually kind of quiet. It's funny, they're going to be a role reversal on that today. And Dan was like, now wait a second, that means that the whole Bible is completely different. And I'm like, well, what do you think about that? And he's like, I think that might be true. Remember that? It was so amazing.
Vaguely.
Yeah, vaguely. Anyway, and I should never ask that question. Do you remember that? I know it just happened. So since that time, lots of things have happened in your family. So tell us what was in your heart that you wanted with the Lord leading up to that, that you weren't maybe experiencing. We didn't practice this ahead of time, by the way, so this is live.
Right.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, there's no 10-second delay.
Sunday evening live. So the biggest things, how do I say this? Church was almost disgusting. Like it was a place that I didn't really want to have much to do with. I'd a little closer for you. Okay. Church was very frustrating. You'd show up, you'd do your thing, you smile and nod, you shake a couple hands, you sing a couple songs, you listen to somebody speak at you, and then you leave. That was church for me anyway for the past, 20 years. And I've struggled with that for quite a long time. We both went to Bible college, and we have a very good understanding of the Bible. We're very educated in that. But everything about church just aggravated me. It annoyed me. Nothing was right. Nothing worked right. And then we have conversations about, well, things are different. What if we view things in a different way? What if sin is seen differently? What if it's just an agreement? And foundational cores were then, through conversations, the whole foundation of all these years of education and study and growing up in church since I was, this big. The whole foundation of everything just, I have to set aside. And I have to reevaluate everything because suddenly nothing makes sense and nothing works right. And suddenly we have no problem driving an hour and a half to go and be in this part of the small group and every week after week, because for the first time in my life, I really feel like I'm maturing in my faith. Instead of just learning about God, I'm learning with God. God is learning and growing me. And it's it's a revelation. I mean, it's an awakening. There's so many words that can go to it, but that's kind of where it all started with us.
That's a good answer. did you want to throw anything in?
Sure, I'll just add that. And one of the big things that we felt we were missing in going to church was, and this is not a bash session on church by any means, because they're amazing and wonderful bodies that love people and welcome people. So one of the things that we felt was missing was what our kids were getting or not getting. And when we started to understand more the goodness of God, we always had it in our heart, but as he taught us more of his goodness and how he truly believes about us, as Jared mentioned, you know, it's freeing and it's releasing. It allows you to step into your true identity when you really understand how God feels about you, because it's not the eye in the sky that's watching every wrong move that you make and really hoping that you don't make the wrong move. And so that to say, when we started that started deepening within us, we so desperately did not want our children to grow up feeling that, to grow up feeling that God was a distant, omnipotent creature that could make things right in your life or make things wrong in your life. And but we didn't know what to do about that, because every church that we went to, it was very much, you are a sinner, you are a sinner, that's who you are. You'll try and change, but, you know, even the pastors are saying, I sin every day, and so that's just, you know, but by the grace of God, you know. And I wanted something different for my kids, so that when Angela first said that, you know, we're going to do a Sunday summer series, are you guys interested? We couldn't say yes fast enough, so...
That's really true.
Yeah, and then to the church idea too, and having the opportunity to be with the kids just about every week is such a fulfilling calling for me, in that it's what I prayed for and asked for a really long time, for kids to walk in the goodness of God and the goodness of their identity. And they get to experience that here. So that's like, yes. But yeah, it's really exciting. So
it's really exciting. In fact, before kids go to children's, because they're gonna go with Mr. Sandra this week, maybe you guys can take a moment and share what you love about what you're seeing with our kids. So kids and adults can see, kind of from your perspective, what you're loving happening here.
Yeah, we go first, you.
I see just the most rich environment. The atmosphere is just ripe for, it's absolutely open. And it's something I actually recently learned this last week. I didn't learn it. You actually said a long time ago, and I was looking through all my notes that I have. But the Holy Spirit is the atmosphere, brings the atmosphere, provides the atmosphere. And really the presence of the Holy Spirit is that atmosphere that we love. And our kids are relishing in that. They grow so much. We have amazing conversations now. We talk about angels and God and about how prophetic words have been shared with each other and with others, and that's the kind of growth we want for our kids. That's what we want to see. That's what I wish I grew up with. I wish I had that opportunity when I was a kid. I wish I understood that it was good and right and amazing and the direction that the Holy Spirit wants everyone to go. And I to see that with our kids and with the other kids that are involved is it's just great. It blesses me all the time when I see kids get up and give prophetic words and even go and ask, can I give you a prophetic word, or take a picture and go to someone and and do anything with that. It's huge. It's like a miracle watching right before my eyes. It's amazing. I love it.
Me too.
So I'll just jump onto that same train. What I love seeing about our kids, and I'll share about what I love about the church mostly with the kids, because that's where I am most of the time. For a while I was feeling the pressure to get into what my expectations were of what I was going to see happen here, because I know what's possible, and that's kind of what I'll talk about a little bit later. I know what's possible, and therefore I was expecting it to happen right away. And the Lord really sweetly said, open your eyes to what is happening, to what is taking place. And so he gave me the ability to see the kids and where they're at, you know, the mindset that they have. They get it. They're so spot on with their joy and their heart and their love for people and their love for God. And they're so open to who he is and who they are. And, you know, so they write things in the kids' room, and they write about the things that they've heard God say to them. I mean, 2 years ago, I never would have thought that kids could even perceive that, you know. And they write about situations that they've experienced with friends or family and how they've heard the Lord in that and what they've learned from it. And it's so normal to them. It is normal for them to know.
Do you know Christy bragging on you? do you know that's what's happening right now? She's bragging on you all.
Yeah, pretty much. It's not hard for them to understand how God interacts with them on a very regular, normal basis. That's just life. And man, it gives me goosebumps because I didn't know that was even possible. And so they get to be raised in that. They get to live their life in that. And so I'm like, wow, I'm just blown away at what these kids, who they are. And it's their identity, which is amazing and awesome. So to be collected here together is amazing. So
So on that note, you geniuses, you partners of goodness in God, you kids are released with Miss Jassander to go have a great time with your growing up with God.
Yay!
Abraham's excited, I know. He loves this series. Yay! And I will let you guys take the front and share your hearts with us. We're very excited to hear everything you have to say.
I don't need
the whiteboard.
No.
You might need it. Okay.
I
just get out of the way.
Is Greg gonna let you write on it? Right.
I'm playing the functional mute today. And yes, I may write.
We decided to wear qualifications. I thought, you know, if I'm going to be standing up here next to, you know, I better look like the part. So I did not shave the head.
Their bromance is adorable.
Beers later.
You wanna kick this thing off?
As a pray about it.
Sure, that's a great video.
Okay. Yes. So let's pray about this for a minute. God, we love you a whole lot. You're really amazing, and you've really brought together a spectacular collection of people here. We're honored to be able to share a piece of our heart with them and to grow together. And it's just an honor to be in your presence, as always, Lord, to really see your movement and to really have your atmosphere expanded here. It's just wonderful. God, let the words that come out of our mouths be glorifying to you and just edifying to each other and encouraging in every way. We love you so much, Lord, and we thank you for this group and for this opportunity. And we really just, we want your words to be spoken here way more than our own. So thanks, God, for that. Just be here with us and let it be amazing. Thanks, God. Amen.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Unless you're on
this. Hi.
We didn't practice this either.
No.
What?
I know.
So I have a few things, short things to share. I've been thinking about this all week and finally got an opportunity about 10 o'clock last night to sit down with God and decide what it is that he wanted to talk about. And I came to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. And you can go there if you want to go there. I'm going to read. Oh, I got it. So this is what 126 to 31. And there's some points I want to point out here. And then I'm going to read from the Mirror Bible, and it's going to change a whole lot of perspective about what it is that's trying to be said here. If you're not familiar with the Mirror Bible, it's really wonderful. The way that it's written is technically a paraphrase, but the guy who writes it really studies the intention behind what is being spoken. And so he takes it from the Greek and not just translate each word straight down, but translates the whole sentence, the whole paragraph, and really makes it say its true meaning that is trying to be spoken. And a whole lot is lost in English, and it's bad. But I'm going to read the good old New American Standard Version, and then I'll read the Mirror, and there's some things I want to point out because of how amazing they are. And hopefully it strikes you as just as amazing, because it's really good. So in 126 says, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, just as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord." Now, when I hear boasting, it automatically goes to pride. And, you know, if you're a Christian and you grow up in the church, then pride is bad. You can't have pride. It's against the, you know, unspoken rules. So, which I've had problems with. Because you always want to be proud of your kid, right? I mean, if a kid hits a home run in a baseball game, you're like, that's amazing. Good job. I'm proud of you. One of the greatest moments of my life is when I was elk hunting and I shot an elk, and my dad was like, ah, good job. I'm so proud of you. Like, that struck me as a moment of my life. But then here I'm told on the flip side, oh, you can't be proud. Don't be proud. You're not allowed to do that. That leads to other things, and, you know, you'll want to sit in the throne of God if you're full of pride. So anyway, I think God loves to be proud of us. I see God as this beautiful father who loves his kids, who wants his kids to be amazing. He wants to be proud of them, and he wants you to be proud of yourselves. He's given you gifts. He's given you all these wonderful things. Be proud of that, and especially our kids, not my specific kids, but our kids in general. We want to be proud of them, and we want them to be proud of what they can do, what their abilities are, what their gifts are. My kids play soccer, and they're really good at it. I want them to be proud of their achievements in soccer, and I love that. So in the Mirror Bible, thank you, dear. I'll try. I don't really like my own voice, so it's quite difficult for me, okay? Okay. So, in the Mirror version, slightly different. And it says, 126. "You might as well admit it, my brothers. It is not your academic qualifications or your good looks or social connections that influence God to represent you in Christ." Did I lose anybody yet? Are they reading straight across? Because that makes no sense compared to what I just read. But it says it more magnificently. So I'll keep going. "It's almost as if God deliberately handpicked the wacky of this world to embarrass the wise, the rejects, to put the shame... to shame the noble." That would be me. Like, I feel like that guy. I've always been the reject, and I'm always the guy, the odd man out. If there's a circle, a group of people, and I'm in it, I'm not in it. I'm the odd man out looking at the circle of people. That's been my whole life. Until actually this church now, oddly enough. So anyway, the ones with no pedigree, verse 28 here, the ones with no pedigree of any prominence, the nobodies in society, the nobodies, that'd be me. attracted God's initiative to unveil his blueprint opinion in order to redefine man. Thus, he rendered any other social standard entirely irrelevant and inappropriate. So there's a lot there. I'm going to keep going. Every reason for man's boasting in himself dwindles into insignificance before God. Of God's doing are we in Christ. Of God's doing are we in Christ. He is both the genesis and genius of our wisdom, a wisdom that reveals how righteous, sanctified, and redeemed we are in him. He is our claim to fame. Boom. That struck me huge. I read that today and, well, a few days ago, and then again this morning, and it even struck me even more about exactly where we are in Christ. And some of his notes here that talk about, well, in the other version it says you have wisdom and there's righteousness and there's sanctification, there's redemption, but it's kind of blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's great. But when you get down to it and you look at what the Greek is and where we're at and what he's really intending to say, in his notes, there's huge notes on what he writes here, because you can't just state the statement and not clarify it. And so in his clarifications of it, he states, of his design we are in Christ. We are associated in oneness with him. Our wisdom is sourced in this union. Our wisdom is sourced in the union that we have with Christ. None of our wisdom is ours. All of the wisdom that exists is God's wisdom. Everything that we have that we consider wisdom, or someone gives you something that's wise or tells you wisdom, that's God's wisdom. It only comes from God. And the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. Our righteousness and our holiness originate from him. Our holiness equals wholeness, completeness, and harmony of man's spirit, soul, and body. Our redemption is sanctioned in Christ. He redeemed our identity, our sanity, our health, our joy, our peace, our innocence, and our complete well-being. That's one of the major things that struck out to me, is this is your calling. Your union with Christ, our union with Christ, our individual relationship with who Christ is, allows us to have all the wisdom that's available. In fact, it goes on further and talks about being able to access the mind of Christ. You have now the mind of Christ, chapter 2:16. He says, you have the mind of Christ. You understand this union you have, are in this union with Christ, then the righteousness that is God's is yours. The sanctification is yours. The redemption is yours. All of that has been poured out onto you and provided for you because of how awesome Christ is. And we now have the mind of Christ in that, and it completes all of that. We now have access to the mind of Christ. That means we have access to the mind of God. So whatever God is thinking, wanting to do in our lives, we can actually pray about it and say, hey, God, what do you want to do in our life? And God's going to tell us. He's going to share that with us. Yeah. Sean Bowles, actually, I just finished reading his book, and that's one of the things he talks about constantly. It's how we have access to the mind of Christ. We are open to that. He is open to us accessing his mind and growing in that and sharing that with others. And that, to me, is a huge part of what we as Christians get. And it made me all excited and giddy. I don't know how it's making you guys feel. But I really loved understanding that. I love understanding that I get to access the mind of God. If I want to know what's going on or where things are going in the world, I just got to ask God. And I'll get it, and I'll get the answer. I mean, I get the answer I think I'm going to get, which is usually the case. But I'm going to get something, and it's going to knock my socks off, and it's going to be amazing, because that's who God is. And God, as our loving Father, wants us to hear those things. He wants to tell us information, give us the wisdom, help us to understand what it means to be sanctified and righteous. We have access as a prince or princess now to the throne of God. You have access to everything that the kingdom provides and has and is available to us. And I really wish that every Christian on the entire planet understood that wholeheartedly. I wish I understood that more. I'm going to keep digging into this because I don't know what it means to be royalty. I've never been royalty, you know. Grew up in America, not much royalty. But in England, if you're royalty and you're a prince or princess, then you have access to everything. You can do, like, I can't say you can do anything you want, but you have all these freedoms and you have these privileges that you have access to, that you get, and that almost are expected to use as royalty. And I don't think that we as Christians have a good concept of that. And I really am searching more about this so that I have a better understanding of what my place is in the kingdom, because he's made us all, he's adopted us into his family as a child of God. That's huge. And so for us to be able to do all the things that we want to do, oh man, I'm really exploring that, let's say.
Wow, thank you. snapping.
Yes.
So speaking of the mind of Christ, I am learning so much more and more about how I truly have that already, and what that means and what it means to acknowledge that. I am the type of person that's constantly looking to the next level. In my career, in my walk with God, I want to reach the next thing. And it's there's a climb, there's a ladder to step up with each rung, and there's something to achieve. And so that led me to a lot of moments of disappointment and feeling like, why am I not, in my walk with God, accessing this next level? Why am I not? I know what's possible. I know what is available. I know what I am capable of doing because I am the child of Christ, of the Lord. And so why am I not performing healings? Why am I not performing miracles? Why am I not hearing the audible voice of God? Why am I? Because I was so focused on that next thing. And so then the Lord so kindly opened up a place of conversation of, let's talk about my timing. Let's talk about what that looks like and what that means. And so it's funny, I thought that this was going to be the whole thing that I talked about, and over the last several days, the Lord took me to a deeper place. So I'm briefly going to talk about the timing of God, because there's more to it that I think is the more important message that he wants to get across. So when I grew up, my dad is the most amazing gift giver. He, if you tell him something in June, he remembers until Christmas that is what you wanted, and he will get it. And he is just so excited about giving you the best possible gift that he can give you on Christmas Day. And he loves the moment of Christmas Day. However, if you found out what your gift was before Christmas morning, he would actually take it back, because he would be so upset at you. I'm not joking. It's happened to me on more than one occasion. I wonder why I'm disappointed sometimes. So for him, it was the buildup to the day that was all the excitement. And I find myself in that same position with my kids, not to the extent of taking things back, because I like to actually give them what they want. But come Christmas, one year I actually did this whole number code on the presents, because I didn't want them to know which present was their present. So I came up with this number code, so that way if they looked, they couldn't know which, they couldn't shake it and like, oh, I got this. I know this is a DVD or whatever. Because I was so excited about the buildup and the season coming to the day of the gift giving and the opening. And so I realized that the Lord told me that He said, where do you think you got that from? Where do you think that you got the excitement in your heart to be excited about the journey of giving a gift to someone and receiving a gift and the expectation, the excitement of the season leading up to the day you receive or give that gift? And so he shared with me a piece of his heart that that period of time, that season leading up to when we receive that gift, when we're aware of what we have been given, there is a joy and a wonder in that period of time. And he said, you actually like that better than you do when you open your present. You like the feeling of excitement and anticipation. You like that feeling. You like that season of enjoyment. And there's a reason for that. I want you to realize that in the world, there is a time for everything, as it says in Ecclesiastes. There is a time for everything. And so he says, I have a time for things, and you would be disappointed if you knew what it was before the right time. And so I said, okay, all right, I can live with that. So I thought that was what my revelation was, and I felt then the Lord over the last several days, almost a week, say, ask me more. And so then I started asking, what's the point in the waiting? Why? I get that I should like it. I get that I can find joy in the waiting. And he came to that the journey is actually the goal. The journey, the walk, is the gift, is the enjoyment. And so I recently learned about the monarch butterfly. Does anyone know the story? Well, the North American monarch butterfly. And so for those of you that don't know, the North American monarch butterfly, there are four generations of the butterfly that takes to have its migration pattern. And so the first generation starts in Mexico, and it travels, and it lives for only about a month, and it travels north. It lays eggs and has its babies, and then it dies. The next generation does the same thing, lives for about a month, travels north. So for three generations, this occurs, and for three generations, the monarch butterfly lives for about a month's period of time until it reaches either South Canada or North America, Michigan, that sort of area. That fourth generation lives for 9 months, and it lives for 9 months so that it can once again travel back south down to Mexico to where it lives for the winter, and it's the only place that it can survive through the winter because it needs the warmth of the other butterflies that it can be surrounded by, and then the environment in which it can prosper within the cold months. And I could teach a whole series about, not teach, but speak about a whole array of wisdom and knowledge and relationally with the monarch butterfly and us as humans. I was so astonished by this amazing creature and how God made it to be. But the Lord told me that in all generations of this monarch butterfly, their whole life is about the journey. Their whole life is about either traveling north or traveling south. Three generations live for a short period of time in order to give life to the following, that fourth generation, to where it can live for 9 months to get back to a place of safety and of rest for the winter months. And so one interesting thing that they found with the monarch butterfly, they took them from where that fourth generation was hatched, so in this particular location it was Michigan, and they took them to Washington, D.C., thinking that it'll keep its same migratory pattern, it will just go south. And so it did that for about a day and a half, it went south, and then it changed course and went southwest, and they don't know why, they have no idea what in their bodies or their minds gives them the direction that they need to go to get to the safe haven, but they do. As we know, obviously it's God's design, but I felt that within my spirit that we have it within us. We are designed to know the direction that we need to go for our journey because God has placed that within us. He is within us. We are in Him. So we naturally have a course and a journey that we are on with the Lord. And so it's not a matter of getting to the destination, but enjoying the journey through that. And then lastly, he confirmed with, last weekend we were up in Greer, and if any of you have been up to the White Mountains, it's, I think, the most beautiful place in the entire state of Arizona. And so we went hiking just about every day that we were up there, and the Lord reaffirmed to me again, what part of this do you like? And for me, it was the hike. It was each step looking around and seeing the beautiful streams that are flowing and seeing the wildflowers that are growing and just the incredible scenery around me. It was the hike that it wasn't reaching the top of the hill. It wasn't standing on the top and, you know, like, yay, I reached the climax. But it was the step-by-step journey. And so I felt him invite us all to a place of enjoying each moment in our journey, because that's the goal. The goal isn't to reach some far place in front or, you know, reaching the next level, but the goal is to find the goodness and the joy that is our inheritance in the journey, in the day-to-day journey. And so I think that is one of the privileges that is afforded to us as royalty, as his children, is enjoying and being awakened to the wisdom and the goodness that is in the journey each day. So that was kind of what my process was. So we kind of had a fun thought for what we can do. If we want to bring the kids back in for that. Surprising thing for me is when I realize that he has talked to me, because I expect it to happen in a certain way. I expect to hear his voice, or I expect to, you know, have this thing where I'm certain that it's God, you know. Let me know in a way that I can't question if it's myself or if it's you. And he's going, we have the same mind, you know, we share the same mind. And so for me, that's been surprising, that when, you know, Dan has a short process with the Lord. My processes are longer, and it's, you know, after a month or two, I look back and go, oh my gosh, like, God really did give me wisdom in this, and I have a depth of understanding that is from him. So that's been surprising to me, because it happens differently than my expectation.
So I don't process for long periods of time. I don't know if guys are just wired that way or what. My process is, well, one night actually it was really late. We were at the Benders. It was 2 a.m. Everybody had fallen asleep. You had fallen asleep on the couch. And Angie and I were talking. We were like, okay, do we leave? Do we just crash on the couch? And I asked God a question, and I got an answer, and I was done. That was my
process.
It's not
how it happens for me.
That was pretty much my process. And I get to play with it and have fun with it as the days go on, because just God's awesome that way. And what he says to me is really cool. And even yesterday, I reread all the stuff that he talked to me about that night, and it's been even more of a blessing all the time. So, yeah. It's nice to know. And it has come to my direct attention how God speaks to me personally. And I can look back on the course of my life and see all the points where it's real obvious that God spoke to me. And I kind of attributed it to that in the past, but now I can definitely say, yes, I know exactly what it is. I know exactly what his voice is. I'm getting better at hearing what it is he has to say in any given moment, and come to a comprehension of what it is and what it is that he wants to say. So getting better at it.
And I'll add one more thing that surprised me, which most of you know, but so our kids are incredible. Our son has, we've always felt, had a very prophetic gifting in his life, and he's been awesome at giving prophetic words and hearing the Lord and having visions. And then one day my daughter tells me that she can see her angel, and so she talks with her angel and she sees her angel, and that's life now. So that was certainly a shocker, because I'm like, when she first told me, we were in our room, and she was at the end of my bed, and she's like, Mom, there's an angel over there. And I'm like, what? Like, are you supposed to see angels? Like, and so I said, where? And she goes walking. She's like, right here. And then, I'm doubly, like, cringing. Like, are you supposed to walk up to angels? Like, they're, like, holy things and stuff. So anyways, that's been a super incredible journey.
I was sitting next to them half asleep, so.
Yes. He wasn't nearly as excited as I was. But so that's been... that was certainly shocking when it happened, but since then, that was just January. It's been such an incredible blessing for our family, just how that's changed our family and what we think and know is possible and how we acknowledge God and everything. So,
lots of interaction.
Yeah. So one thing that we thought we would try for this evening is the Lord speaks to all of us, and we all have different processes and ways that we experience that or acknowledge that. And so if everyone just, wants to take a few moments, I feel the Lord would love to just bless each of us with a thought, with an encouragement, with... a word of where you're at in your journey. And so if everyone wants to take out a card from the buckets in front of them, and we'll just take a few minutes and listen to the Lord and hear what he has to say. Write down if you have a picture or a thought, just want to jot that down. And then we're just going to gather them all in a pile, and then everyone can take one. And we'll just ask the Lord to sort out what each person walks away with in their hand. So
we're not necessarily going to get what we write down.
Right.
So what we write down is not necessarily for
them. Right.
No, what you write down is for someone else in
this
room.
Well, or you may end up with your own. That's.
I suppose you could end up with your own. But.
So everyone to participate, including the kids.
Yes.
We're going to ask God to give us a thought or an idea or a picture. Or a smell,
a word,
or
yes.
Something,
smell, thought,
whatever
yes.
It is, doesn't matter, right?
Exactly.
Write it down on the card, because it's not for you. We're going to put it in a pile,
and
we're going to pick
draw.
Out a pile.
Yep.
Okay, sweet. Will you pray over us as we listen?
Yeah.
God, thanks for being fun. Thanks for being fun. Holy Spirit, you're just awesome here. Thanks for... just for being great. Really just move over these people right now, over their minds, their thoughts, as they go, as they do everything. Let it be directed by you and be beneficial and encouraging to someone else in this room. Give them the word that can be the best for them. Thanks, God. Thanks for being awesome. Amen.
Butterfly. It's not a monarch, so it didn't quite go with the story, but this giant butterfly was just walking on our grass, and so Taylor laid down on the grass, and it just crawled right up onto her face, and so we got several pictures of this giant, beautiful black and yellow butterfly just interacting with our daughter, which, you try and catch them all the time, and they fly away. We need to...
picks up absolutely nothing when I start, and I go, and then something happens. What?
They started.
Mm-hmm.
We just get the last two, so that'll go.
I don't know. Did Greg put one in? Did you put one in, babe? Greg?
Does anyone want to share what they got, or?
Oh, I got mine! Ah! And I thought it was the truth! I thought it was the last one!
Can you switch?
Anyone
want to share? Well, I really like mine. I'm just going to say, it's really, really good!
Good too. And then, let's see if I can read this. I don't know, it's very artistic.
It says, I see you through the sunsets or endings of life. I see you through your walk with your tears. I am patient and kind. Really good word for you, buddy.
Wow. That's awesome.
So I'm going to share mine because I don't know what it means. And I can't really understand it. Yes, and if the person who wrote this can tell me what they wrote.
Go ahead.
So, from what I can make of it, it says, how do you know what thought you want is the stamp as the chord if it doesn't speak to you? That's what I see. Oh, that looks like a C.
So, what does it actually say?
That's really strange.
How do you know what thought you want is the something, same as the Lord, something of the Lord if it doesn't speak to you? How do you know if the thought is from the Lord if it doesn't speak to you? Is it, no.
It's fine.
Okay, yeah. Can you tell us?
I kind of to her, she said about her father, she used a euphemism, and you said that you got to give, you want to give your dad, remember what it was, and the euphemism was like, use God as a Bible saying. But how do you know when you know, you might say, I really like that, but you know, that person who wants to give it to you, wants to give it to you in the worst way, but his idea and your idea maybe you can do different things. You know, and that's what I was getting at. Was saying, and then my glass is not going to run away. That's why you can't read very well. I was just asking, how do you know the Lord is, his thought is yours? I had the wrong question. I said, well, he knows what he wants to do with you. And he knows that. So that was my question was, yeah. How do you know that your thought is the same as thought is his.
Right.
If he doesn't speak to you in all the tones, you can understand.
Yeah. I have asked that question so many times. And for me, I've learned over the last 3-ish years since I was aware that the Lord actually does speak to us, I have learned that... And again, for me, my process is longer. So it generally is a few months before I realize, oh, this feeling that I had or this wisdom, this idea that I got was from the Lord. And it's because, for me, it settles in. It sinks into my spirit, into my heart, and the thought or the idea starts to unfold. And so there's a feeling of rightness, of goodness, and so for me, I've learned what that feels like and when it settles into my spirit. For Dan, it's probably different.
What does that feel like? This
okay.
Is the one who got started.
Good thought, yeah.
So what does that question mean to you?
So I have a trouble determining whether my thoughts are my thoughts or if they're the Lord's thoughts. And so this card is basically saying what I'm thinking. So I guess.
Do you have an answer?
No. You have that question too.
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Okay.
So you have the question. So you share the question.
It resonates with the thought that's in your heart. So
can I offer a thought on that?
Yeah,
sure.
Where does the Holy Spirit live?
Well, I'm a broken person. I wouldn't know. Because I don't know. And I want to know.
Sure.
Oh. Well, the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, in the Holy of Holies, which is our heart inside the tabernacle of our body. As the Holy Spirit resides there, it permeates everything about us. So when it comes to, are these my thoughts or are these the Holy Spirit's thoughts? It goes along with what Angela has taught us
that there's a fragrance about it. What's the sense of it? Is what is being said, what is being said to yourself, does it smell right, righteous? Does it smell upright? Does it smell good? Is it encouraging? Is it positive? Or is it destructive and damaging? The Holy Spirit is always going to be positive, encouraging, loving. He is love. As love, there can be no damage from it. It's love. So discerning our voice from God's voice is this packaged with and in love. And what it is who I'm telling to others and what it is I'm telling myself. Because we have a huge tendency to lie to ourselves and not believe things about ourselves, then we tell other people. And I do the same. I'm bad at it. I lie to myself all the time. And I don't like it. And it's destructive. I'm coming into a place where I can enjoy everything in love, with love, and through that love, and because of that love, I get to express love to others. It's through my words. It's not saying I love you to everyone. It's just in everything I say, it's packaged in love. And so to understand it as, is it my voice or is it the Holy Spirit's voice? The Holy Spirit is living in me. It all comes out together.
You know what I'm loving about this? Eli, what did you say about how that card made you feel? It made him feel excited. So he got that card and he got excited. Because it opened up a question, right, that he wants to explore. What I'm also loving about this is I have two people going, here's how I know I hear the Holy Spirit. One a couple years ago, I know that you guys didn't know how to answer that question.
Yeah.
And the beauty of this is we can't tell anyone else how to know, but we can walk with people in each other's journey as we all learn how to become fully confident that we're hearing God.
Absolutely.
Isn't that so good? So, yay, like it's so genius, right? We're so genius. Like, who knew? Like, that, okay, so genius. Okay, one more. Anybody else want to share about what their card meant to them? I love how this works. It terrifies me every time, I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
There's times where I'm like, whoa, wait a second. This is, you know, but it always, like, the Lord just has a way of being in it.
Okay, so I got the Lord has blessed you with an amazing sense of adventure. He takes joy in your adventurous side. He smiles at your delight and free spirit. Enjoy the journey. So, I actually just discovered that it's the lead. Like, it's been there, but I didn't know what to do with it. Well, I just discovered it, and I'm discovering along with it that I'm a little bit so much of a fireball, and like so much of just not in a box that it freaks a lot of people out, Christian and non-Christian. And so I've had a lot of people coming up and going, no, you need to be like this, or you need to sound like this, or you need to look like this, or you need to act like this, and everything is different. There's a whole bunch of different boxes that I'm supposed to apparently fill. And I don't know, I've just been realizing, he's just kind of been pointing out to me that he doesn't fit in a box himself. And if he's in me, yeah, exactly. Like, dude, okay, he's in me. You want me to be what? Sorry, can do that. So I guess I'm kind of learning to embrace it, which is an adventure in and of itself.
Yes, it is.
Did anybody else, just by a raise of hands, really enjoy their car? And go, I really felt like it was an encouragement to me. Okay, wait. Keep them up. I mean, it's okay if it didn't. Like, if it didn't hit, you know, like, this is what we get to practice. So everybody felt like their car really encouraged them.
Yay.
Right? Yay. That's so cool.
I was really nervous about doing that, so.
It was a risk.
I wasn't.
So let's take a quick moment, okay? If you're willing to, we're going to go really fast, because what we're going to do is we're going to do our practice, our hearing God practice, a little differently at the end, so we have time to do this really quickly. If you're willing to just read briefly what your card says, and you felt like it encouraged you, the person who wrote it will be encouraged to hear, that, you know, so if you'll read it briefly. Mine was, you are wonderfully and fearfully made, and not of this world. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Is that you? You want to share?
Sure. You are amazing. You get to be a part of a movement to redefine man. God's love for you is unfathomable. The Holy Spirit wants to gift you with being part of his movement. As a king taking over new territories and claiming them as his own, you will be his prized knight.
Holy. That's awesome. Can we find out who wrote that?
I think
that was yours. That's cool. Are you sure yours?
No, I
didn't
like
it. Because it was mine. It was
yep.
So good.
For me.
So read it quick. We'll go quick.
Don't stress, trust God and follow him. Don't doubt his instructions. Be like the butterfly and know where to go to be with God.
Mic drop.
So mine says from Jakari.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's so good. It says a little girl crawling with a striped shirt.
Oh,
good.
That's so cool.
Crawling with a striped shirt.
That's awesome.
You need an upgrade in to really rest in this truth. And then in brackets, love, peace, joy, rest, etc.
Oh!
I couldn't figure it out. Oh, here we go. I want to give you an upgrade.
You are unbelievably brilliant. I made you glorious.
Oh my God, that's so perfect for you. Okay, who else wants to read theirs?
Okay. This kind of answers my question. A simple life, well lived with God, is rich and beautiful. A way to live life.
Oh,
that's awesome.
There you go.
Wings to fly. I will be there with you always.
It's so weird how like even the temperaments seem to kind of match. Okay. Oh yeah, so we're Johnson. Is that okay?
Oh, very nice. Mine says, God is good and he makes life good when we focus on enjoying the journey. Even the difficult steps become blessings. And but like when you asked us to write something down, like I automatically thought of exactly that. So.
So she got it.
It wasn't your car.
So it's like, we're really
good. Hi! And Marcy wrote that one? That's so cool. Okay, anyone else want to read theirs?
You are the seed that I have scattered in good soil. Seeds do not sprout immediately. That is the word I needed. Thank you. You are halfway to your bloom. There's more, but that's exactly what I needed today.
Yay.
Can you share that one? Yay. That's so fun. What? That was Heather.
So good.
Okay. Anyone else?
Okay. Well, we're going to close in prayer, and we will release you to go. We do have a practice that we can do. We're going to do it a little bit differently.
We have a little bit of goodies that we can put out, and then we'll open up the opportunity for people to practice hearing God with each other. And I don't want you, if you feel like you really want to hear another encouraging word from the Lord, I want you to make sure that you ask, you know, someone in the community to do it. And if you're not sure who to ask, then come ask me, and I'll team up with someone, and we'll find it. But let's just bless Dan and Christy as they are like learning to voice what it is that God's doing in their lives, you know, in this environment. They have stepped up to say yes to taking care of our AV, which Greg was doing earlier. I'm so proud of you, honey. Like, thank you for that.
Yeah, it makes you appreciate Dan.
It doesn't make me appreciate Dan even more, but it makes me really appreciate you too. And then Christy has such a vision and passion for the youth, and we've called Dan and Christy our family life pastors because we really believe that they are going to pave the way by the life that God is giving them, that it is life in God for families. So, like, right, we live it, and then we get to, like, open up that space for others. And so God just, like, yeah, named you so rightly. So, Papa, I love that you love to encourage us, and I love that you love to give us spaces to explore, to, like, literally spread our wings like butterflies and take off and enter into the next season. So, Lord, we agree together with a blessing over Dan and Christy and their lives and their adventure and their sense of adventure and their willingness to take risks and go to new places and do new things with you. We also just bless the appreciation for the journey and the joy and the celebration and the anticipation of what it is that you're doing next, that it's an excitement and also a contented joy. Lord, may we also have these same things in our own heart. And what Dan shared also about such a shift in Scripture, Lord, we just celebrate and we just bless that yearning in his heart. And we also receive that for ourselves, to receive a full blessing of seeing Scripture and your communication through the Bible in whole new ways, in ways that open up and expand our relationship with you. And so may we all go out this week and be salt and light and goodness in every space that we are. May we know that we are the ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, of abundance and goodness. And may we feel God's great joy over the magnificence of who he made us to be in every single situation. Amen.